Hello, and you're listening to The Seventh Reel. This week, Black Swan, a 2010 film directed by Darren Aronofsky, and Whiplash, a 2013 film.
2014.
Mm-hmm. 14. Damn it, I was hoping to get it off the top of my head. Film directed by Damien Chazelle. Michelle, this was your pick this week.
Yes.
What do you think?
I don't know, like, they're very popular. Like, a lot of people have seen them. And, like, I was very surprised. I had a completely, like, different experience watching them this time than I did. I guess I haven't watched them in, like, over 5 years. So it's kind of surprising.
How so?
Like, before when I watched it, I kind of saw it in, like, a very, like, you've got to work this hard to do something good, you know? And then this time, I'm like, no, you don't. Like, that's how you destroy yourself. Like, that is how you will suffer from mental health issues for years and not be able to do anything. It's very clear that that's kind of the message they're going for-ish. Sort of ambivalent, though, sometimes.
Which one holds up better?
Whiplash.
Hmm. What do you think?
Oh, interesting. I don't know. I have a soft spot for Black Swan. So I still kind of think of it as, you know, the one that I like more. But what about you, Arvin?
I thought Black Swan didn't hold up as well this time.
Really?
I liked how, well, both films, like, are effectively about, like, that pursuit for perfection within the arts. Mm-hmm. But I liked how Whiplash was a lot more technical about it. It feels a lot more real, not to say realistic, but, like, it's, you understand the trajectory, the character's trajectory and what they're focusing on a lot more because it feels more authentic. Whereas in Black Swan, I couldn't, like, does Darren Aronofsky actually know that much about ballet? Because it doesn't feel like...
Probably like not, no.
I don't know how Vincent Cassell yelling at Natalie Portman on these, like, very ambiguous suggestions is supposed to help her improve. It's like, probably, like, how to, like, move better or, like,
dance
or something like that. Yeah, it's like, you're not free. I'm like, what? What does that mean?
But, like, ballet is very, like, rigid in general. So, I don't...
Yeah. You can't be like, just like, you know, do the move with the little swishy about. Yes, to be more technical. Okay, well, yeah, that's obviously the biggest thing Whiplash has for it is the person behind it is of the craft. Yeah, yeah. And I think, for me personally, I like this. This is his best movie for me. Like, I enjoy this one the most. And I think that's because of that. Yeah. Because it feels like it's someone who knows the topic so well. Like an expert, like, you know, like how Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is like, oh, an expert made a movie about the thing he's like, he knows about.
Yes.
That's sort of what it felt like. Then everything else was like fun. Yeah.
I liked First Man a lot because I thought he brought on that sense of like hyper focus and like these guys, all his films are kind of effectively are thematically linked. Right?
But it's all about like achieving your dreams or goals or at the price of something or as a result of something.
Yeah.
But the First Man, I love that movie and everything, but don't you get the sense that he wasn't an astronaut? that's what I felt. I was like, Whiplash. Okay, this guy knows what he is.
I thought First Man was just like, I'm so surprised that he's able to keep consistently knocking out of the park. Because usually most directors, like, you know, the first couple films, there usually is one that is a little bit of a black sheep. But so far, he's doing really great. And
I can't wait to see his
Babylon film about early Hollywood. That's gonna apparently it's like he said it's La La Land, but none of the songs.
Oh, I'm excited. Yes, they took out the parts I hated about the songs.
I feel like this film is gonna be really like color saturated. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but like I just feel it's gonna have like that weird, like, not Sin City, but like kind of, what was that Caesar film with
Hail Caesar?
Oh, Hail Caesar.
Yeah, like that kind of color scheme. For some reason, I think it's going to be like that, and I don't like that. I don't know why.
Mm. No, I get what you mean.
No, I get hope you pull something a bit different, like, because it's all focused on that transition into talkies, and maybe we'll play around with like technicolor or something like that.
But, hopefully, like, Babylon was, like, a big silent film from, like, 1915, I think. I'm pretty sure it's a W.D. Griffith film, which is why I don't understand the name.
Well, we can't wait. Well, we'll see. In terms of his best film, do you think this is Darren Aronofsky's best film, Yusuf, or Black Swan?
No. Definitely.
Definitely not. That's kind of my main thing. I was like, wow. Like, the rest of it was a lot better. And it's like the same story. It's stunning. Mm-hmm. And I quite like The Fountain. I wish he does more stuff.
He
like
did
that,
The Fountain?
The Fountain was sick.
I thought that was a Danish film. Is that something else? I don't know.
Natalie Portman won the Oscar for this.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was good, but not. Like,
well, his stunt
not like the praise
happy.
I remember being heaped upon her.
No, because she did like all the, obviously she'd probably been training as a ballerina for like her entire life, and then Natalie Portman gets all the credit because like the illusion of cinema makes it look like she's doing it. Which I guess it's kind of offensive that like she can just show up and do it, and then like, you know, it's like a proper trade, people train their entire lives to be that good.
Yeah, and especially when like the finale is such a big part of the movie, right? The final performance. I guess a lot could be said about the cinematography. Well, both films are shot really beautifully, but I think with Black Swan especially, the way the camera just kind of dances along with her for most of the film, you're kind of stuck behind her shoulder, behind her, trapped within her perspective. I thought the little supernatural touches were kind of what dates the film.
Were they supernatural touches or were they like mental illness?
Well, exactly. This is something the film refuses to really elaborate on. Although I think it's pretty clear by the end. It's like it's the pressure that she mounts on herself that's like rotting her most of all. Not her. Not even her mother. It's or the Vincent Cassell. It's her. But again, we're back to this kind of Cronenberg. Like a lot of Cronenberg homages. Especially with her pulling out the little feathers from her skin. That was awesome.
Yeah, I like that stuff. I think that's what makes me more into it.
Yeah.
Like a little more.
What did you think about Mila Kunis? I thought she's okay in this. I don't really see her in a lot of dramatic roles, but she was pretty good in this as like a little wild card.
Yeah, casting her, I mean, must have been sort of an interesting. Because she's not known for this at all.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
She's known for stuff like Bad Moms, Friends with Benefits.
That's 70s
show. Yeah, that 70s show.
Mm. I think she lied about her age to get that role. I think she was supposed to be 16, but she's actually 14.
You know, she's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
But the spoken language in her family is Russian. It's not Ukrainian.
Yes. How do you know this?
IMDb. Yeah, I'm just IMDb right now. I don't know this off the top of my head. I don't know. She was born on August 14th, 1983. These are just facts I keep in my head.
Fun to see like Aronofsky play around with the kind of supernatural, like fantasy elements, because his next film was Noah.
He did Noah and then there's a Darren Aronofsky
song. yes it's her worst performance.
I can't believe he did that. That's so like different.
Did you like it or hate it or just because it was different?
No, I think I hated it, or I just didn't remember anything about it. It was like a nothing film. It was like that weird phase where there was a load of religious cinema going on. It was like that.
But I remember being like super pumped to go see it in the theater because it was a Darren Aronofsky, and my dad was into it because it's like all biblical and stuff. So, and he loves those kind
Old
of
Testament shit.
Yeah. So he was like, oh, yeah, you know, they're going to show us all of the stuff and it's going to be visualized. So that was like one of the movies where both me and my dad were excited about. So I think it's just that's why I like it a lot. But I thought it was pretty well done for you know what a biblical movie. I have to say though,
an actual take to it.
I haven't finished The Last Temptation of Christ. Which one's the Scorsese one? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Silence and Dust.
Yeah, I didn't watch both of those. I couldn't finish both of those. So sorry, but I don't know. Maybe it's just Jesus. Maybe he's not. I'll try it again. Maybe that could be the next time.
And then he fully. I think his best Christian, well, Bible film is actually Mother.
Yeah,
that's his real Bible film. It's like Noah was like more literal. Was way more literal, but Mother is like, oh, kind of get. You follow along and it's actually, and I think it's much more comfortable making a more contained spectacle.
Wasn't Jennifer Lawrence just became a mother?
Oh, right now?
She was preggers, yeah.
Just this moment. This instant.
This moment, like, breaking news, you have this coming in.
Well,
I don't know why I thought it was. Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, she probably will by the time this comes out. So Black Swan is, I'm trying to figure out, like, that was such a, everybody in Taiwan when it came out was talking about it, and it was pretty much revered, and I remember really, really, really liking it. I was surprised by how much it didn't click for me upon a rewatch, mostly just because, like, I didn't like any of the training stuff, because it just feels, again, like, it feels like he doesn't, like, what
it's like, yeah. It's like a vague, have, like, too vague.
Violinist come in just for
why
the
did they have the
like,
piano player do that too? Just have a recording.
The piano makes a bit more sense, no. I think, in terms of like keeping the pace of the violin. I was like, wait, why is it here? It's just something that looks cool, I guess.
So the first
maybe
time,
also chemistry wise, like they just wanna like
yeah, sure,
you know,
like,
merge the.
So the first time I watched this was with my mom, like right when it came out. I was at home, and then every time, you know, the scenes where she touches herself, my mom would like pretend to channel Sim so you know, I don't get any ideas.
Oh my god, that's so funny.
But yeah.
So there's a controversy, and I'm going to bring this up in my rec. Well, I was going to bring it up later anyways. This film, Black Swan, if you've seen this, I believe it was a 1997 or 1998 animated film called Perfect Blue, you would find a lot of familiar elements that are kind of reincorporated in Black Swan. I don't think it's like directly, I wouldn't call it a crazy plagiarization, but it's kind of disingenuous for Aronofsky. Like, oh yeah, I've never missed this Toshi Khan, even though like, it's like it's on his end, it's recorded like we've actually met up before. I guess he just kind of wanted to distance himself from like taking the influence, but I don't know. Now, it's far more superior. It's probably why it's a movie. So Michelle, you were right. There was a dance double who was
I know. I watched an interview where she was really mad about it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
But I thought the music at the end was too fast. I kept checking to see if I'd accidentally like put it on times two speed or something.
Press
that's how
times
fast
two.
It was. Like it should have been slower.
Oh my god.
Maybe it's like emphasizing like, you know, this is the peak.
Well yeah, they just want to show her doing stuff like very fast, even though it's probably not accurate. Because it looks better.
I'm sure you were saying that a lot of what happens in the story is also paralleling what's actually the actual story of Swan Lake, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know it that well, but well, it's kind of she's pulled to like two sides. Like the train is kind of like the Black Prince, whatever he's called. And then I can't quite figure out who the White Prince would be, if it's her mother, if it's herself. Then she's like becoming both of them. But like, I don't know, do you think like all the sexuality stuff, she's doing it because she wants to do that and wants to grow up, or she's doing it because she wants the part so much and this is what she's told she needs to do, like to do it well?
I think
it may have started out that way, but then I think by the time it progresses with her relationship with Mila Kunis, it becomes something that she wants to embrace in order to like grow up.
No, or is it just in order to have such a great performance? Because that's what happens.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's also like, and she does it kind of in retaliation to breaking away from control of her mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because right before, like, when they hook up, which they did, I guess they didn't, because she shuts her mother out, right? Like, and she does it almost out of like a sense of retaliation. So I think it's a mix of both.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
So it's funny how it's like just sleazy Vincent Cassel chewing the scenery,
yeah.
Which I think he's the worst. But he's what dragged the movie down because he was so over the top.
Don't you dare say anything bad about Vincent Cassel. Can't believe it. He's such a...
While J.K. Simmons did take it over the top, but because it's grounded, the movie is grounded in that. It works because he's angry about stuff that makes sense for his character to really be angry about. Like one of his players not knowing whether they're in tune or not, which is awful. Mm. Which if you think is kind of bad.
It's not that bad. Yeah.
But if you get to that level, is it like possible to do that? Like
exactly right. If like I think that's what he's trying to, the point that he's trying to make. Like well, if you're playing in this band at this level, knowing whether you're in tune or not.
No, but I genuinely think I'm.
But is it realistic?
No, but I'm defending myself here, who can't hear pitch very well, except for on a ukulele for some reason.
Yeah.
I just think it's a skill that you have in your ears, that whether you can hear pitch or not. Like, if you hear the right pitch and you like, I think it's that. Or it's like something, I don't know. Because, like, it's very natural to Arvin, it's not to me.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's unfair for him to like kick the guy out just to make a
point. But the other guy was out of tune, though.
Mentioned.
And exactly, he didn't kick him out. Like,
he should be the
one. Yeah, they should have both
exactly. Got. Like, he should have confessed.
Because he was at fault, too, because he didn't know.
So, it's really interesting about Whiplash is they shot the short, they only just released a short film in 2013, and it became a huge hit, and they immediately got the movie deal after.
Have you seen the show?
He wrote Whiplash out of a... No, I haven't.
I have.
Out of a place of frustration. Really? Yeah. Is this Jill's J.K. Simmons?
I'm pretty sure it's just the scene like when he's screaming at him playing the drums. And they're all like playing. I think it's with like one of them scenes. And like that's the whole thing.
I see. But it's interesting to think that he wrote this out of frustration while trying to get La La Land off the ground.
Really?
Yeah. So I think a lot of that can be like, that frustration is... I can kind of see the undercurrents of that while watching the film. How much are you willing to go off? Did he like suffer a horrendous breakup while like trying to pursue his dream?
It wasn't a horrendous breakup. It was very like selfish, inconsiderate, and horrible breakup.
Yeah. Where
that other person doesn't exist. Like, and if they listen to this Significant Others podcast by Conan O'Brien's wife, who I can't remember her name, which is very ironic.
Liza,
you know, you realize how important they are and how underrepresented they are in history. Not that, you know.
That's true.
But, yeah, I don't know. Yeah. All
right. I get what you mean.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Shall we take a break?
Okay.
Step right up, ladies and gentlemen. 7 reels. That's rate them up. Michelle, you pick these. You go first.
4 to Whiplash. 3 to Black Swan.
You know, talking to you guys has convinced me, actually. I'm kind of more on the Whiplash side of things now. Unless I can give them like 3.5 and 3.5.
No, we can't split these reels.
Not right.
That's true. It would
be very odd.
That's not set. That's not too bad. Yeah.
I'll just do 4 Whiplash, 3 Black Swan. Thinking about it.
Well, I'm going to do 5 Whiplash, 2 Black Swan. Oh. I'm sorry, but I couldn't get past the central like training stuff. It gets comical at points when he's just yelling at her more and more. Like, yeah, but it's an audience. You can tell me what she's doing.
It's also like a real.
What if I don't understand ballet.
Piece of power as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, also like I'm the swan queen. I thought she was going to be like, I'm the swan queen, bitch. They really sound like she was going to do that. And I don't know. It just didn't land for me. All right, let's move on to what have we watched this week? What have we watched this week?
What have we watched this week? So I watched a bit of Better Call Saul. I'm almost done.
That we were just we're almost done.
Yeah,
it'd be great. Just wait for it. Wait for it.
It's good. My only problem is I'm like, it's too much of a bummer. Why can't just things be good for these guys?
I know you want and
I want him to. Yeah.
I think what makes it work is because this is what emerges is one of the best TV couples I've
ever. Yeah, I really wanted him and Kim to work out. Yeah. That sucked.
And Bob Odenkirk, holy shit, he's really stepped up this last season.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's just because all the heavy stuff is like the show gets heavier and heavier and heavier as the consequences catch up.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, really, really painful and so mournful, but very beautiful performance.
Mm-hmm.
What have you watched, Michelle?
I watched Fisherman's Friends, which mm-hmm. is this British film about it's like a true story based on these group of sailors in Cornwall, which is like this very southern England, who like they sing sea shanties, and then they had like released a record and like did really well, and it's very sweet. It's like such a feel good film, and then the sequel just came out recently.
Nice.
Oh, and just for context for anyone not in the UK who watches it, A Fisherman's Friend is also a cough sweet in the UK. So when they say you can suck on a fisherman's friend, that's what they mean. Just context.
Oh, not. Okay, I see. Wow, that could have been confusing.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't really had time watching me, but on my way back from the country to Canada, I've almost finished Michael Mann's Heat 2 on audiobook.
Yeah.
And it's I think it counts as a recommendation because it really feels like the movie that never ended. It's just a it just went on. Which I think is the best thing you can say about the book. If you really like Heat, you'll love this.
Did you watch the movie before you read it, or did you just remember?
I watched it a couple months ago.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of stuff still like shines, like it's quite vivid. It's really sad thinking that I wish it got he made it sooner because it focuses so much on Val Kilmer's character. And you're like, the guy can't really do that now. But it was so cool in it. And the book understands that. And it's fun in audiobook because the narrator does a pretty passable Pacino impression. And a lot of it is just him yelling. It's great.
That's hilarious. Parts I did,
but he's also like a very gruff, serious like narrator. So when he starts talking about the frankly kind of ludicrous multiple sex scenes in the book, it gets really funny and really uncomfortable. It's like, her body taut on the bed. I'm like, okay, stop. It was I nearly burst out laughing on the plate multiple times. It was that funny. Okay, that's what I watched. All right. Listened to. I watched it in my head. I painted like you know.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like it's written like a screenplay, so I kind of appreciate that. All right, what are our recommendations?
Well, I'm gonna recommend Mother. I think that is my favorite Darren Aronofsky movie.
You have to really bring it out, the exclamation mark. Mother. That's how he wants it to be. great movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last time we remember Jennifer Lawrence being in anything. Like, hasn't she kind of stepped away from acting lately?
She was in to have a child. Right.
Yeah, but...
I guess she just got she's friends with the Kardashians.
What a waste of time.
She just... It probably spread.
Yeah, she was in Don't Look Up.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Nope.
Completely erased.
Nope should have been called Don't Look Up. And then Don't Look Up should be called Nope because no one should have watched it.
Because.
Well, she's also going to be in Bad Blood, the new Adam McKay movie based on Elizabeth Holmes.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Didn't we already have the Amanda Seyfried?
Yeah.
The films are doing that again.
They're doing it as a movie now.
She should get some royalties. Like, she deserves some money coming from this man. Like, poor lady.
What, with Tom Cruise? Or is something else? Isn't that different? What? Elizabeth Holmes? Is that Katie Holmes? Never mind.
You're thinking about Katie Holmes.
Yeah. No, this is the lady with the blood company thing that remember?
Yeah.
She like did scammed a bunch of people. She
fell apart. Mm-hmm. Well, what would your recommendation be, Michelle?
Mine would be The End of the Tour, because it's like the other side of fame. Once, like in a realistic fame, of like what happens once, like the thing you want, you got it. How do you feel? How do you deal with it? So yeah, the other side.
That's great. My recommendation. I was gonna say Perfectly, but I actually want to say The Wrestler, because I think it's a much. It's funny how Aronofsky considered this a companion piece, because you know it is effectively the same movie, but much much better. Much more intimate, I think. It's, you still feel like you're completely stuck within this guy's head, this character's head. It feels incredibly isolating, but it feels more authentic. And that's why I thought it would be the better pick. All right, which this brings us to the end of our podcast. But before that, Yusuf, you were about to announce our next films.
Yes, next week we shall be watching Vengeance and Nope. The theme is that they're both directed by people who are famous for writing comedy than, you know, made movies, I guess.
And might I add, both recently available on VOD.
Yeah, that's also true.
That's also why. That's all right. And there you have it, Vengeance and Nope. Nope, Vengeance. I think there's a message there. All right, we'll see you all next week. Keep it real. The 7th Reel is hosted by Arvin Huang, Michelle Hassel, and Yusuf Al-Bashir. Logo by Joe Conti. Our ad break music is composed by Yusuf Sui Lim, and our outro music is composed by Yahya Al-Bashir. Thanks for listening.